And now we proceed to our lesson. The next virtual class will be on Sunday. I hope to be able to give that lesson from the Moscow Kabbalistic Center. If it turns out to be impossible, then I apologize in advance. Then when I come back, we'll continue learning, starting on Thursday. Thank you very much. I wish myself a very lucky, good trip, and I'll see you on Sunday. And now we are starting our virtual lesson and recording. Our central principal book, the main source from which we can receive all our basics in a work, is the book of Shamati, the Herd. I wrote about this book in my articles for the beginners. You can see the links where I wrote twice about this book. It is always on my table and I am working on it all the time. It's a very special book. It is impossible to write, comment, translate as a usual book. I never part from this book, and my rabbi always had it on him. When he was young, he wrote down the conversations of his great father. Later on, these ideas supported him in his inner work, which he received from his father. We know that during the development of generations, man deeper and deeper understands his relationship with the world. The Kabbalist corrects his egoistic properties, transforms them into altruistic. By correcting their properties, the Kabbalist ascended spiritually, and the methods were different in different generations. So the last Kabbalist who came to this world before the general correction, before the masses start correcting themselves, is Rabbi Yudah Ashlag. He summarized all the Kabbalistic knowledge developed before him. All the Kabbalists adapted Kabbalah to their generation. And starting from 1995, we see a general interest to the spiritual ascent, and the great Kabbalist Baal Sulam combines, summarizes all the knowledge of Kabbalah, the materials left by Rabbi Shimon Baal Shem Tov, the Ari, and my rabbi had a notebook called What I Heard or The Heard. So when he was before passing away, he handed this notebook over to me when it was clear to him that he was leaving this world. I knew about this notebook even before. In 1982, about half a year after starting learning with him, I received this notebook and photographed it. And since then, I have been studying it. There are several articles in this notebook which my rabbi gave to other disciples of his. They are published in the volume called Shlavei Asulam, but these are just two or three articles. The rest of them remained in the handwritten copy of that notebook. And when we traveled together with Rabbi, I read from the original text, and I was very honored. It was quite a different power, quite a different impact. We studied those articles together. He commented on them. Of course, those commentaries got deeper and deeper with the years, from 1982 to 1991. For 9 years, he was trying to introduce me into the inner meaning of that book, and hopefully our understanding will deepen with time. When my rabbi left me, I realized I couldn't keep this notebook only to myself. He gave me the original handwritten copy, but he could not do what we can do today. So these articles were given to me. Seeing that this mass interest to Kabbalah, not only in Israel but around the world, I saw it in Canada in 1991, a year after my rabbi passed away. I had to go to Canada at the time. When my father died, Rabbi died in September, and my father in February, and many people came to me. I gave lectures when I was sitting Shiva, 7 days of mourning for my father. I understood that the interest to Kabbalah is steadily growing, so I understood that I had to publish this book. And for about 10 years, it exists. Thousands of copies were published in Hebrew. Many of these articles were translated into Russian and into English. In these articles, the Baha'i Salam summarized everything that is necessary for a person to enter this spiritual reality. So we'll study it as the basic, as a foundation of our spiritual work. So this lesson on Tuesday is dedicated to the study of the Tansferot, the most principal, the greatest book which reveals the sources of the upper light. And in parallel to that, we'll study the book of Shamati. Knowing that on Tuesdays we first study the articles from the Shamati, from the Herd, and then the study of the Tansferot, the first part, I would like to ask you to prepare those materials, to have them before you when we learn. I see some of the groups that are in Israel, in Moscow, in several places in the USA, in New York, in San Francisco. I noticed that people were watching the screen while listening to me. It's not enough. You have to have your materials in front of you, and hopefully you will be able to review the materials before the lesson and go through it after the lesson, going back to the first part, the Shamati, and the second part, the study of the Tansferot. You activate your connection with the upper source. So we are about to begin the first article from the book of Shamati, written by Rabbi Yehuda Ashlag. This is the most principal article. This is Keter, the crown, the most important article, and all the rest of the articles are just the commentaries to that one. It should be the foundation of our inner work. It should live inside us in all our states, all our circumstances and conditions. We shall keep this article in us and realize it. What is it talking about? There's none beside the Creator. It is said, there's none beside Him. In Hebrew, it sounds Ein Od Milvado. Which means that there is no other force in the world, no other power in the upper world or in our world. The world is Malchut, the creation, where everything exists under the influence of the upper light. So there is no other force in the Kelim, in Malchut, in the creation, that would have an opportunity to do anything against the Creator. And the fact that man sees that there are things and circumstances that denies that fact, say a group, a society, the state, the earth, the natural forces, why does it seem to man that these are separate forces? Because it's the Creator's desire to confuse man and have him think that there's something else or someone else in the universe beside the Creator. And that is necessary as a method of correction. The left hand pushes away and the right hand approximates. So the Creator's control is carried out through two ways. So there is confusion, and we cannot understand how all these contradicting forces can come from one and the same source. But we have to reveal for ourselves that the left hand pushes away the negative force is an integral part of the process of correction, and it is as positive as the right one. So why do we have to be influenced by two forces? Just because we have to feel the Creator, and we can feel Him when there are two contradicting properties, forces, sensations in the creation. The knowledge is received on the border between them. So initially, we have to be influenced by two forces. If we were influenced by one force, we would not be considered alive unless the Creator created the desires in us and filled those desires, we wouldn't be able to feel anything. He continues, there are things in the world that are initially created in order to push man away from the correct path. It is done deliberately and naturally in the process of man's advancement. The Creator confuses him more and more, interferes with this advancement of his, so that man could feel deeper and deeper layers of connection between him and the Creator. So the Baha'u'llah says that the usefulness of all these influences, man acquires the great, tremendous desire which the Creator has to answer, and the Creator helps man, because otherwise man sees that he is completely lost, that he is unable to exist without the Creator's help. If man comes to that state and takes advantage of all the surrounding circumstances, searching for the Creator's influence in all the events, man tries to see this unique force, then he cries out to the Creator, asking for help. It's the most principal thing to hold this idea that only the Creator controls this whole picture. And when man tries to unite everything, the group, the family, the society, with the Creator, it seems to him that Not only does he not advance, he realizes that he cannot study, create the group, do anything that would help him to advance spiritually. Each time he concentrates on this connection with the upper force, he feels that he's pushed away, more and more obstacles are sent to him that confuse him even more. Suddenly he is ejected from all this picture and falls into this state when he sees the society, the friends, the family, and becomes detached from the upper force which controls everything. And when man keeps trying to concentrate on this unity and is unable to proceed, so the Baha'i Salam says that only with the true attempts to overcome all these obstacles with the help of faith above reason, man can succeed. Man says, I will not be looking at what happens to me through my mind. I will not say that the Creator is inside one of my friends. Through all the surrounding circumstances, he influences me. There is a subtle difference. I shouldn't see the Creator as dressed in the objects or forces surrounding me. This is called idolatry. It's wrong. What I should do is to see him acting through all these filters, through all these objects, how he affects me. And I should try to do it by faith above reason, because my perception would constantly negate the existence of the Creator and the uniqueness of his power. And when I keep trying to stay united with the Creator, as the Baha'i Salam writes, that man does not have strength to overcome these obstacles. I cannot believe that the Creator does it all. I switch off and I react inadequately. I start hating everything, wish to destroy everything around. These are purely egoistical reactions. Envy, jealousness, hate. And this extinguishes my unity with the Creator. And in this case, man loses this connection. He just forgets about the Creator. And then in the process of his advancement, when with the group's help through his own effort, maybe some melody, music will remind him about it. We should constantly create some reminders that would purely mechanically get us back on track, so that the shell of this world would disappear, so that I would not take it into account, so that the Creator would shine upon me and I will be connected to Him, so that I would see everything through His light. Then this curtain, this shell would fall and I would connect with His light directly, without the sensation of some objects between us. So when man tries, with the help of these reminders, tries to move forward, he discovers that the falls are more numerous than rises. He remembers about the creators for a couple of seconds, and then for half a day he forgets about him, and it goes on and on for a number of years. Quite possibly this period will be compressed in the future, but in the end of the last century, this period took several years. And a person feels that there is no end to these states. And he feels that he is away from the Creator's holiness, because he sees that even a slight action, the smallest action of trying to connect with the Creator, is impossible for him to do. He shouldn't just listen to what his friends say and forget about it. Their words should influence his desires, and a man would recreate the Creator's image inside himself. So it seems to him that he is away from holiness, because even the smallest spiritual action, this reaction to what he heard about the unity with the Creator, is very difficult to do. And only with the help of overcoming these obstacles, these barriers, in spite of all the pictures that are sent to him, if I perceive it with faith above reason, if I don't look at a certain person but at a force which controls this marionette, then I connect to the source. Then it becomes possible. But man does not always have this power to go by faith above reason. Reason is what I feel in this reality, and faith is something above it. And then man asks, so what is going to happen to me? If he constantly asks this question. What is going to happen to me? Meaning, how am I going to establish contact with the Creator? If man constantly activates this question in himself, then he comes to the decision there's no one but the Creator who can help him in that. He realizes that he is totally unable to establish this contact. To establish and maintain this contact, all his attempts only convince him that they are temporary. And unreliable. On the one hand, the upper point of Keter, the need to feel the Creator's greatness, and the bottom point of Malchut, these are his disappointments. It's not a disappointment in the path or in the Creator. It's a disappointment in his own powers. The rest ascends to the incredible height. So in the process of man's advancement, everything should be growing in him, both the positive and negative. Properties of his, and the Creator leads him to the realization and to the genuine demand to the Creator. Before that, it was a child's crying. His demand wasn't serious enough. The kli wasn't completed. His desire was not perfect. How should this desire be realized? In the demand, request, demand to the Creator, so that the Creator would open his heart, open his eyes, make him see and bring man closer to himself forever. This desire emerges in man as a result of a tremendous inner work. And since the Creator is concealed, man cannot aspire to him. He can only do that according to the greatness of the Creator that he has within, and only the group can help him in that. So we see that all those negative reactions came from the Creator. It's not because man was disappointed. All these disappointments are accumulated in the person who tries to connect with the Creator, and only the one who wants to get close to the Creator to reveal the unique source, the only force, the one who is not satisfied with the child's level of attainment of the entire universe, the one who wants to receive the sensation of all the worlds. Only these people are given help from above, so that they would not say that they are satisfied with what they have, that they have Torah in commandments, that in principle they have a group and they study and everything is fine, so the Creator has to help them. So just the people who push themselves to this contact, to the revelation of the uniqueness of the Creator, if man has this genuine desire, then such a person receives help from above. He is shown that he is not all right, that he is far from the Creator, and he has sent obstacles and interferences against his inner work. He feels even worse with his friends. He understands even less. He is disappointed in his spiritual path, and this is called help, because as a result of this process we have to acquire the clue of disappointment in our own powers, so that we would be able to ask the Creator for help. It is done to show him that he is not connected with the Creator. The more he tries, the farther away from the Creator he finds himself, in comparison with his friends who feel that they are connected. And he is always suffering, he is disappointed, he cannot feel anything, he is pushed away from the good states, and he falls from the spiritual sensations. And he complains about his inability to justify the Creator's attitude to him. Man should realize that this is the Creator who does it all to him, in order to create this special clay in him. And when he understands that, then he simultaneously finds himself in two sensations. I'm disappointed, confused, I cannot attain anything, I'm pushed away on the one hand. On the other hand, man says to himself, I cannot justify your actions. It's the reverse connection. I feel that he affects me, but the influence is bad. I cannot thank him for this influence. I blame him. So there are two sensations here. I clearly feel and see that it comes from him, as much as we can feel it under the mahsom. I feel my negative sensations as coming from the Creator, but I cannot justify him. I know that he is sending all these sensations to me, and I know that they're for my own benefit, in order to lead me to the spiritual. I still feel them as painful, as suffering, and I cannot justify them. That's why man feels pain. Not because he suffers, but because he cannot justify the Creator's attitude to him. He complains about his uncorrected sensations. And these sensations lead him to complain, and it hurts him. And he asks why the Creator's influence is not felt as sweet. He is sorry that there's no holiness in his connection with the Creator. That's the nature of his complaints. I do not want him to stop affecting me this way. I would like to react to all his influences in a good way. It's not done so that I would feel good. And this leads him to realization that only the Creator can make him close to himself. Why? We are in the world of infinity even now, and the Creator's influence is absolutely kind and good, and all our sensations should be perfect. So everything that we receive now, everything that we imagine, if it's not perfect yet, not infinity, not perfection, because only my kelim are uncorrected, so I should ask the Creator for correction of my desires, not for the sake of feeling good, but in order to correctly react to his influence upon me. If my request is such, it means that I'm asking not for my own sake, and the entrance into the spiritual world is based on that request. Man should always try to go along the path of his connection to the Creator, so that all his thoughts would be concentrated on it. So we should create all kinds of reminders in our life, all kinds of signs, symbols, that would remind us about the Creator's greatness, especially in the group. My friends should remind me about the existence of the Creator, about the purpose of my life, about how I should achieve it, that the Creator's control is unique, and the most important thing I should receive from the group, the Creator's greatness, so that I would see that idea in front of my eyes. The rest comes from it. And even if man finds himself in the most terrible state, falls very low, he thinks sometimes that there is another force that prevents him from establishing contact with the Creator, and this force, and we think that there is another force beside the Creator, that's our delusion, because everything comes from Him. So I should not see anything or anyone in this world as a source of what is happening. Man should divide himself in two parts. One part is my attitude to the world which surrounds me. I treat it according to the laws that are accepted. And the life. And they are all playing the same game. And my more inner part, my attitude to them through the Creator, they shouldn't see and know about it. They should see me as a normal human being who reacts to everything in a normal way, who does not express any lofty, exalted thoughts. They all have to see me, should see me as a normal person. That's how I create the external partsuf of mine, so-called partsuf sarot. It should be of one kind in the street or at home or in the group, and only my inner attitude should connect me to the Creator. We shouldn't be confused. Quite often we would like to force the spiritual laws on ourselves in the group. It's impossible to do, and Rabbi Baruch writes about it. We shouldn't do that. We should hide our personal inner attitude to the Creator from the more external part in the group, and from a more external part in the family or in the surrounding society and the world. It should be very clearly, distinctly graduated inside of us. Man has to take all these desires and all his thoughts and try to control them in such a way that they would come from the innermost part of his, from his relationship with the Creator, and be determined by them. Then man would influence himself correctly through the group, through the family, the society, and the surrounding world. He would lead them to correction, but only to the extent of their ability to receive this positive influence from him. The Baal Shem Tov was a great Kabbalist about 100 years after the Ari, the beginning of the 17th century. The Baal Shem Tov wrote, a person who says, who thinks and says that there is an alternative force, we call it a pure force, except for the Creator, is called, is considered to be engaged in idolatry. Moreover, if man thinks that there is an independent force in himself, that he is independent in his thoughts and actions, that whatever is in him does not come from the Creator, that he thinks that he is independent from the Creator, if man thinks that he is independent, he deludes himself. He he puts himself against the Creator and thinks, for example, that he didn't want to come to the lesson or didn't want to think about the Creator or wanted to do something good or bad. If he can imagine that all his thoughts, desires, and calculations are done by himself, it means that he does not believe in the uniqueness of the Creator. This phrase is difficult to understand. The fact that the entire world around me, with all the people except for me, all of them are puppets, I can agree to that. And that the Creator acts, plays with me through them, they don't allow me to concentrate on this idea, but I can try and understand them. But how can I agree to the fact that all my decisions, all my thoughts, and all my desires also come from the Creator? So where is my I? Where is that something? Or is it really like the title of the article says, there's none beside him, so what am I? Am I an illusion? Is some virtual is there any independent entity, or is it just a result of his actions? I will repeat that. Moreover, if man thinks that he is independent in his actions, independence means contradicting. When man thinks that he didn't want to go along the Creator's path, in this case he errs, because he doesn't believe the Creator is the one who controls everything. So our work should consist in after the initial stage, it should boil down to my attitude to my own thoughts, desires, and actions. I have to connect myself with the Creator. However, having realized that when man feels sorry about what he thought or did, both inner obstacles and outer obstacles, and his contemplation about the forces that exist around him, the group, the comrades, the society, and my inner forces, my inner sensations. If I make a mistake, how can I correct that mistake? I made a mistake, then I concentrated on the correct thought. I thought that I was independent in my actions, and then I realized it was a mistake. How can I treat my mistakes and move forward? The Baha'i Salam says that man has to be sorry about what happened with him. But with regard to what should I be sorry? From this sorrow, something new, which is termed creation, the freedom, something which exists outside of the Creator. Man should be sorry about the fact that he could not connect everything with the Creator. Just for a second, for a moment, he thought that the thoughts and desires that are in him or in other people, that they were not holy, they were separated from the Creator. That by that, he upset the Creator. And this fact compels him to work on himself and achieve the unity with the Creator. And when one feels that he is on the rise and feels the taste of his work, he is connected to the Creator and he rejoices in this connection. He is ready to be the Creator's slave. But why? Because at this moment, the Creator brought all these positive sensations in him. So man should constantly find in the Creator such an address which would create a positive attitude to the Creator in him. For an hour we have been speaking about this article, and I constantly thought that was thinking that I tried not to go deeper than necessary. I'm sure that we would go back to this article written by the father of my teacher. We would see more and more in this article and in the others all kinds of applications of this idea, short-circuiting ourselves, the unity with the Creator. We'll finish the first part of our lesson. You will have an opportunity to ask questions and I'll try to answer your questions.